Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon, joined in the studio by finance presenter JP Ong and on the phone by Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX. It's been, I want to say tumultuous, but not really so much on the market. It's been a tumultuous amount of news affecting markets around the region and maybe the US, but we here in Singapore have actually been pretty shielded from it. The SDI currently up 0.1% to 3,431 points. JP, set the table for us.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Clarissa. And as we head into the weekend, we are seeing that the Straits Times Index is holding on and resisting this broader sell-off we're seeing across the region and across global markets that have shuddered over that bigger-than-expected inflation print from the United States, once again prompting the prospect of an outsized rate hike from the Federal Reserve next month. But still, the Straits Times Index still holding on to some of these slight gains and more resisting rather than thriving, I would say. The STI today up by 3.5 points, just inching up by 0.1% to 3,431. We got value turnover still fairly decent, I'd say about 647 million Singapore dollars in total trades changing hands. Today, though, we're seeing a reversal of gators versus losers. There are now more stocks, REITs, and trusts stuck in the red today than there are in the green. Now, only 144 offers on the SGX now gaining ground, and that trails the 209 losers. So perhaps we're starting to see some of the sentiment starting to shift and perhaps wane for the STI. We are coming off a very strong and impressive start to the year of the Tiger, as we mentioned, for local stocks. And keep in mind, the STI is still up 6 straight days. And in those 6 days, we've actually seen them not just break past 3,300, but also 3,400 and comfortably holding on to that breach. So this resistance, at least, to the downturn today, while it's impacting markets differently, we do know that Japanese markets are offline for in observance of a holiday today. The ASX 200 today has fallen, though, by about 1% to 7,217 points. We got the South Korean Kospi also down by 0.7% to 2,752. The Thai X in Taipei also trading about 0.4% lower, slipping to 18,257. And we're also seeing losses out in mainland China, albeit mixed and a bit more subdued. The Shanghai Composite just trading 2.5 points lower at 3,483. Shenzhen in the red falling by 41 points to 13,391, and we're seeing the Hang Seng currently trading about 0.5% lower in Hong Kong, sliding 118 points down to 24,810. Now, as we mentioned a while ago, the STI looking quite good. But again, we just want to see how some of those high flyers at the start of the year, the Tiger, are actually doing today. And what do you know, the banks, after taking a bit of a step back yesterday on potential profit-taking, well, they've returned to winning ways. DBS ruling the roost, up by 1.1% to $37.26, while we're seeing OCBC and UOB both up by about 0.4% each. We're also seeing, though, that the REITs, once again, seem to be a bit mixed and a bit more shaky than their stock counterparts. Mapletree Commercial Trust falling 0.5% to $1.83. We've got Ascendus REIT also down by 0.4% to $2.88. And we have, Capitalan Integrated Commercial Trust today flat at $2.08 per unit. So once again, we might be seeing a slight divergence between how the REITs are performing versus how the stocks are. But overall, it's just enough to keep the STI afloat. And we'll have to cross our fingers to see if we can make it 7 straight days of gains at the start of the year of Tiger. Mind you, we have not yet seen a losing session for the Straits Times Index since the start of the year, the Tiger. Let's hope they can actually keep that streak, at least for today, so we can head into the weekend with a slight grin on our face.
All right, we bring Jeff Howie, market strategist from the SGX, into the conversation. First of all, Jeff, did you enjoy some chair dancing?
For a couple of days I was in the office this week, yeah.
All right, so the SDI has had a really great week, but if you want to basically wrap up the entire week, it can be described in two words in markets across the region and across the globe, really: inflationary concerns.
Yeah, you're right. Interesting that you look at the S&P 500 index, it's not very far off from where it began when Asia opened on Monday morning. Most of the moves have been in treasuries, and we've seen 2-year US yields. They're currently at near 1.6% after beginning the week at around 1.3%. 10-year yields are also up above 2% after beginning the week at 1.9%. Now, this time when we were chatting last Friday, the expectations for a 25 basis point hike at the 16th of March FOMC were at 84%, with 16% expectations for a 50 basis point rate hike. Now, expectations have flipped after last night to only 13% expectations for a 25 basis point hike at this upcoming FOMC, and as high as 87% expectations for a 50 basis point hike. And the biggest catalyst for the about face, that increased hawkish outlook for the FOMC, is, which is still 6 weeks away, was that US January CPI report, which came in marginally above expectations at 7.5% growth year on year, but that's still the highest on record since February 1982. Now, on top of that, a lot of Fed speak last night has also impacted the increased hawkish expectations. The potential for a 50 basis point hike, if inflation did not moderate, it was put to the Fed chair back on the Jan 26 FOMC press conference. I think it was the FT economic editor who asked the Fed chair about that, and he did note the chair that the decision was yet to be made, and the Fed will begin to address the question as it moves into the March meeting and meetings after that. That was exactly what he said. He obviously didn't rule it out. So after that inflation print, we saw James Bullard tell Bloomberg News, he's the St. Louis president of the Fed, he would expect to see a 100 basis point hike by the 1st of July, while the former Richmond Fed Reserve president Jeff Lacker also noted on Bloomberg News that the Fed is clearly late on the tightening process. And then there was another speaker, that's the current Fed Reserve Bank President for Richmond, that's Tom Barkin. He told this Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research he would conceptually be open to raising interest rates by a bigger than usual half a percentage point increment, but does not see the need for it now. So this also expectations for a 100 basis point hike by the time of the 15th of June FOMC rise from 30% to 46%. Expectations for a 125 basis point hike rise at that FOMC on 15th June, that rose from 3% to 38%. So it's repricing interest rate expectations that is having the big impact. Still got a long ways to go. Plenty of Fed speak. January PPI for US will be next week. PCE deflator, another CPI report on the 10th of March before the 16th March FOMC is ahead. Now, while the S&P 500, as we said, is flat, global bank stocks have continued to outperform on the inflation outlook. The trio of DBS, OCBC and UOB, as JP said, they were mixed today, but they've still averaged 4.2% gains this week. That brings their average year-to-date gain to 17.6%. Now, it's not just Sing Banks. Of the 70 or so listed banks across Asia-Pacific that maintain market caps of more than $10 billion, UOB does rank among the top 5 performers in the year-to-date, OCBC ranks among the top 15, and DBS ranks among the top 25 performers so far in the year-to-date of those 70 or so that are listed across APAC with that market value at least $10 billion. Within the STI, OCBC, UOB, DBS have also been recipients of the highest net institutional inflows for the past 5 sessions. It brings their total net institutional inflows for the 3 banks right through to yesterday's close to $1.3 billion, following around $1.7 to $1.8 billion of net institutional flow last year. And what that means is that the banks have led the STI to its 3.1% gain this week, because the banks, of course, make up 45% of the STI. And that actually means that as of now, we're standing on a 10% year-to-date gain for the STI.
But that's expected. I mean, the bank's doing well on the rumours, well, not so much rumours anymore, that the Fed is going to raise interest rates helps them, because banks benefit from raised interest rates.
Indeed. Yeah. Just to add to that also, Jeff, before we go on, I mean, it was also noted earlier, just a couple of days ago, that We're starting to see that the yield curve, because it's not just the rise of the yield curve, but also the steepness of it, right? And this is something we've talked about in depth in the last couple of weeks. There is a bit of a flattening actually in the yield curve. Is this something that should be cause for concern for anyone watching, not just Singapore's banks, but also other banks that might be dependent on the steepening of the yield curve? Or again, should we focus more on the domestic yield curves like the one here in Singapore, for instance?
Yeah, I think you can be focused on a multiple of them. But the reason for that steepening is obviously the levers needed to contain inflation in the shorter run will be higher than what's required for the longer term. And that's really on the back of the inflation being driven by what was firstly initially seen as transient factors, mm-hmm. but really driven by these current factors that include energy prices and supply chain constraints. And those are issues that could be cyclical and can change in the long term significantly too. At the same time, the Omicron variant, as we know, has been a lot more transmissible but a lot less severe. That's had a pretty impact as well. Now, if unfortunately things with the COVID-19 do take a turn with the worse with another variant, then that can affect the activity or the variables that have been driving inflation pretty quickly. Hence, that long-term rate hikes throughout the, you know, beyond the next 2 years to the next 10 years aren't so aggressive as what we're looking at right now with that pretty high inflation print. In fact, on the Omicron front, I should mention there has been some, I guess, good developments there, because if you, not just the banks, but airlines, hospitality and leisure sectors have also led the global stocks this week. So you might recall daily new global confirmed cases of COVID-19, it reached a peak of around 3.4 million a day back on the 24th and 25th of Jan. And that smooth daily average has now come back down to 2.5 million cases. So back when that average returned below 3 million cases on 3rd of Feb, we've seen these sectors actually start to outpace a little. Since the end of January, you've got Singapore Airlines gaining 6.6%. I think Singapore SIA Engineering Corp is up 6.1%. Gunting Singapore is up 6.1%. CDL Hospitality Trust has gained 8%, which includes a dividend distribution. And Singapore Airlines has also seen $77 million of net instant inflow this year. And that 7% price gain thereabouts has taken its share price to around $5.34 at the lunch break. Tech stocks were a little bit more mixed. The Philadelphia SOX index added 2% over the Asia week, while global internet stocks averaged marginal declines. So you've got various, you know, what we've basically seen is throughout the year to date, that outlook for supply chain disruptions and, of course, the increased energy costs, which are the two key drivers of inflation at the moment, it did give global investors a reason to adjust some of their exposure to the tech sector and take some money off the table, given the strong returns of last year. And also last year, remember that SOX index gained 40%. So far this week, they've been more mixed. Grand Venture Technology gained 9%, UMS gained 1.6%, ISDN Holdings has gained 1.5%, while on the other side, AEM's declined 0.7%, and Franken Group has declined 4.5%. That brings the average decline of the five in the year-to-date to around 11%. Meanwhile, Venture Corp, which reports its full-year results after the Feb 25th close, so that's still 2 weeks away, that has gained close to 5% this week, tipping its year-to-date gain to the green and up 0.8%.
All right. Now, there have been some developments here on our stock market. Some of it was rather salacious, you know, with the fight with Keppel and SBH, for example, but also Mapletree and what was said by Quartz. How do these kinds of things, how should they be read by investors?
Well, I think investors, some investors will read it, some won't. Some will take the view, some will take the view. No, but this is all part of having an open market with plenty Indeed. Of opinions and different ideas, different motivations, different risk profiles, etc. So, you know, this is all part and parcel of having a stock market that's open for business, Clarissa. Everyone having very different opinions. You know, when I was a broker when I started broking 25 years ago, I remember the adage on the desk was there, ours was to sell and buy, not to ask why. So that's where I'm coming from.
Well, it's a good place to come from, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And look, there's also there's so much on for the week ahead as well. Big week for earnings. DBS is expected to report, will report before the Monday open. IFAS reports after the Monday close. Far East Hospitality Trust will report before the Tuesday open. UOB will report before the Wednesday open. OUE Commercial REIT, Prime US REIT report after Wednesday close. Gunting Singapore is after the Thursday close. Sasser REIT will open before the Friday open. Data, big data as well for Singapore. Thursday, 8:30 a.m., we'll have our final estimate for GDP for 2021. Expected to be marginally higher than 7.2%, maybe 7.3%, which is basically on the back of the uptick in manufacturing activity at the end of last year. The industrial production, remember, grew 13% for the whole of last year. NotEx will also be released at the same time, 8:30 Thursday morning. It's expected to have grown 12% year-on-year in January. That follows 18% growth in December last year. We saw reports, remember, this week there's been resilient regional trade, but at the same time, you've got that high growth base of NotEx last year as well. And, of course, Singapore budget will be delivered 3:30 p.m. Next Friday, when we can talk about that closer to time.
Jeff, you know, just so you can't accuse me of not reading what you put out, I did see earlier this week on the Business Times, you did talk about those net institutional inflows coming into Singapore. You see, I read some of the stuff you put out there.
And you must have been the other reader.
Yeah, me and my neighbor as well. But anyway, but here's the thing. I noticed that, you know, when you look, you have to take a stock of how well the STI has done in the year of the Tiger also. A lot of the institutional inflow coming in. My question to you is, since you have a closer pulse, actually, of what's going on at the SGX, are the inflows coming from institutionals here, or are they also coming from outside, meaning are there also a lot of foreign funds coming back into Singapore and perhaps viewing this as a bit of a safe haven? Because we can't ignore the fact that the STI has been a lot more stable than almost any other index in Asia-Pacific and maybe even the world.
Yeah, look, most of it comes down to index composition, JP. And yes, the banks, as we said, have gained 17% in the year to date. That has been the real reason why. But then you've also got Singtel as well. That's kept pace with the STI. That's also up 9.9%
year to date. So it's not just the banks.
Yeah, aside from the banks. So Singtel has also seen the highest amount of net institutional buying after the three banks. And those flows are a mixture of both local institutional and international institution. We break it down by the institutional market participant. We don't actually break down then further whether it's domestic, institutional or international. But of course we are attracting international flows. That's why when you look across all the different indices, Singapore is highly correlated with the broader ASEAN index because we share the same parent indices, and of course portfolio managers do trim, or I should say adjust, their exposures to the region, going overweight, underweight, usually on a regional basis, and that also impacts. And of course we're very economically integrated with the region, so there's a number of reasons why you have those type of flows, international and domestic.
A few more hours of trading ahead of us. The SDI still in the green, up 0.1%, 3,431 points. Are we going to close in 3,400, JP?
I think that's probably going to be looking quite well. I think the bigger question is, will the STI give up this 3.5-point gain? But look, I mean, it's a 3,431. You're going to have to look at a pretty significant decline for the STI to do this. And given the fact that we've noted that the confidence there, look, maybe this very impressive rally is starting to lose steam. But again, just because it's losing steam doesn't mean that we're going to see this massive capitulation. That said, this is a time when that might see us ripe for some profit-taking, perhaps taking some money off the table. We'll have to wait and see. But ending below 3,400 today, I don't know. If you were asking me to take a bet, I'd probably bet against that happening. But again, a lot can happen if profit-taking accelerates in the next couple of sessions.
All right. This has been Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. He is finance presenter JP Ong, who will have another Market View for you in a few hours. And maybe then we'll see if we held on to 3,400. Jeff Howie joined us today. market strategist from the SGX, as he always does on Fridays. Stay with Singapore's most influential radio station.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives.